Welcome to the Guitar James Show, y'all. I'm your host, Guitar James. If you're new to the show, drop us an email at guitarjamesshow@gmail.com. That's guitarjamesshow@gmail.com. So, hope you guys had a good week, man. I hope your day's been treating you good, your week's been treating you right. If you're listening to this at work, I hope it's helping you get through. I know mine do. Day shift, night shift, middle shift, man, it don't matter. I hope it's helping you get through. That's all we can ask. If you're new to the show, kind of what we do is just talk about really what's been going on in the week. Kind of tell some gig stories. I'll go over this week in music history, some stuff I found interesting, some stuff I hope you guys like. One thing I want to do this week is pick out some of my vinyl and start going through it with you guys. I'll probably pick an album out every week and talk about it and hopefully turn you guys on to some stuff. So yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll go through that. I'll tell some stories and we'll just hang out, man. So, hang on. Let me catch this break real quick and then we'll be right back with you. So, what's happening, y'all? So, this segment, we're going to try to get into a little bit of this week in music history. Now, I like to go and find stuff that I'll find interesting, so I assume that you guys will find it interesting, too. I like to go this week in music history because it kind of broadens that out a little bit instead of this day in music history. I don't know. What are you guys into, man? Let's see. So, 1971, this week in music history, it says Led Zeppelin played Leeds University in England. It says this was the first time that they played Stairway to Heaven, Black Dog, and Going to California in front of an audience. Man, I just think about what it would have been like to hear those riffs for the first time. I don't know if you guys are big Led Zeppelin heads like I am, but think about hearing like Black Dog for the first time, because we've all grown up with this music, so it's kind of ingrained in us, in our DNA. But there was a time before, so yeah, that must have been nuts, especially playing all these songs first for the first time in front of an audience. I'm assuming this was around when Led Zeppelin 4 came out. It had to have been, because that's when it was on the album. So yeah, what is some of you guys' favorites? I love Houses of the Holy. It's hard to pick a good, or like one Zeppelin album to listen to. Yeah, I guess I love them all. We play Bringing On Home a lot at gigs. It's just one of my favorite riffs. I know it's a Sonny Boy Williamson song, but I love Jimmy's riff on that, man. It's wild and it's out there and it's just such a good riff. So, moving on, another first it would have been like to, thinking about what it would have been like to hear these guys first. 1970, Black Sabbath makes their debut at the Roundhouse in London. And I'm sure that scared a lot of parents. I guess that's like a generational thing. We all like to think that we had the music that would scare our parents, but I'm sure like that just comes around full circle to everybody. Everybody thinks they've got the worst stuff, but man, that must have been great hearing that for the first time. So going on here, this one's a little more recent, 2010. So Lil Wayne was sentenced to a year in prison at Rikers Island, stemming from an illegal firearm found on his tour bus. Now, I don't know. Lil Wayne's not my cup of tea. Maybe it's yours. But that sounds like a harsh sentence. I know New York has really strict gun laws, but to me, you should be able to have a gun on your tour bus if you're in the public eye like he is. But I don't know. I don't know all the rules of having them registered and all that stuff. But I will say, every interview I've seen with this guy, he comes off like a good guy to me. Maybe not a good guy, but he comes off as a likable guy to me. So, I don't know, man. What do you guys think? I guess sticking with this same... sticking with scrolling down here, sticking with this same thing, I guess. And this was a big one. This was... I don't remember this happening, but it was a big thing in culture, and pop culture, I guess. 1997, Notorious B.I.G. was gunned down, and I didn't realize he was only 24 years old. It's amazing to think about what these guys did before they were 25. Like, they were 24 years old, and the impact that these guys had. I'm watching Luke Cage, and there's a Notorious B.I.G. painting behind him. You know, I know this affects a lot more people than it does me. But, yeah, it's a big thing to think about, man. And then, finally here, 1966 says, the Beach Boys started working on God Only Knows What I'd Do Without You. And this is a big one to me. My wife loves the Beach Boys. That is her band. That's it. And one story with her, she was never, if you know my wife, she's never a troublemaker. That's all me. The only time I've ever seen her close to getting in trouble was at a Beach Boys concert. We went to see the Beach Boys, and we had seats a little farther back, and she's one of these that she gets her seat, that's where she's sitting. She's not moving up. She's not breaking any rules. That's where she's sitting. But for some reason, this show, with it being the Beach Boys, Mike Love was up front. And there's all these women running up to the front of the stage while they're playing. And I guess he has a Sharpie. I don't remember her having a Sharpie. But we, you know, we did the thing. We bought the shirts and everything before the show. And she goes up to the front of the stage with her shirt. And he kind of gives her the wave, like, hey, I'll be there with you in a minute. Because they're in the middle of a song. And so she's got her Sharpie and her shirt. And I see the bouncers coming there, the security coming down there. It shows how long I played in the club, the bouncers. the security coming down there. And she's not moving, man. And I see him tell her, like, hey, let's keep it going. And she's like, nah. You know, he gave me the wave. I'm standing here. And he did. He reached out and he signed her shirt. And it just made her whole world, man. So we got to go home that night with a signed Mike Love Beach Boys shirt. That, being the good husband I am, I framed it and then hung it up on our wall. And I'm looking at it right now. So that's my Beach Boys story, man. But yeah, that's it. That's This Week in Music History. So, moving on a little bit, I am going to play you guys a song off of our Hill Stomping album. Now, this is an instrumental jam that we came up with called Peppermint Pickle. And we recorded this album a few years ago. And we did it coming off of like 3 or 4 nights straight playing on Beale Street. So, I mean, we were good and tight, and the band was ready. And we'd been playing a lot, so we kind of did it like Texas Flood style, if you know the story behind that, where they just kind of went in, set up all their equipment, and just played live. They set up, played their set through one time, went, took a break, got something to eat, came back, set it up again, played through it again, and took the best ones out. That's kind of what we did here. But we recorded this album in Memphis, Tennessee, at a place where they have it's called Radio Memphis. They do look it up. They do a live show every day. They have a show on Sundays called Booze and Blues. But the studio they used down there was used by a lot of musicians. I know R.L. Burnside recorded The Wizard there, which is a great album. So it was really fun to record in the studio. And what we did is we paid for like 5 hours. And we just set our, the amps are up in different rooms, so, you know, it cut through a lot of the bleed through. But we did the kind of the same thing. There was the mic in the room. We were all in the room together playing, everybody with their headphones on, and, you know, played these five or six songs, and most of them were the first or second take through, because, like I said, we've been playing four or five nights a week at the time on down on Beale Street. And the particular gig before this was pretty wild. So, you know, we were right. It's a perfect snapshot of what the band is at this time. So the engineer comes down. He's like, man, okay, you guys got these songs down. He's like, we got another hour. So I'm going to go up. I'm going to have a drink and a smoke. And give you guys, you know, a few minutes to get it together. I'm going to come back down. When I come back down, let's hit this jam. Y'all just come up with something and we'll hit record and we'll get it. One time thing, you know. So we did it. And so sounds great. We're all upstairs. We done listened to the playback of it. We're trying to figure out what to call it. And there was a girl that worked there named Diana. And she's since passed, but Diana was great. And she was always really good at this kind of thing. She's just hanging around when guys are making records and stuff and coming up with different ideas and stuff. And, she really helped run the place, and it was just a great person. But we were standing up in the parking lot, and we can't think of what to call it. And just off the top of her head, she goes, have you guys ever heard of a peppermint pickle? And we're all like, no. Apparently down in Mississippi, this is a thing where you take a big dill pickle and shove a peppermint stick in the middle of it. And it's something about the pickle and the peppermint. The sweet and the sour, I guess, that people just love. And I had never heard of. And ever since, I've tried it. It's pretty good. But that seemed like the perfect thing to call this jam. So, give it a listen. This one's called Peppermint Pickle. All right. Thank y'all so much. That one is called Peppermint Pickle, and it's off of our Hill Stomping album. So if you like it, go to bandcamp.com/the Delta Project, and you can buy it there. Just look up our Hill Stomping album. Or if you want to stream it, go to Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube, wherever. It's up everywhere you want to stream. And thank you guys so much. I have definitely noticed since the last episode of this show an uptick in album sales and follows and everything else. So just thank you guys so, so much. So one weird thing that happened to me this week is we had this gig, and all my musician friends, let me know if you guys had this same thing happen to you. So we've played this place before. We usually book a lot of these out-of-town gigs like once a quarter and just keep a steady rotation of stuff that we have. And this is one of our acoustic gigs. So it's kind of fun. We break down, take a break from doing all the big loud stuff to doing these acoustic gigs. And so we played this place, a few months ago, and it was good crowd, everybody's into it, good money, great gig, fun gig. And that gig was from like 7 to 10. This was like a 3-hour gig. So they book us again. This time they want to do it 8 to 11. So we're like, all right, it's a little later, but okay. And we show up, and it's the end of February, so it's a little cold. And we get there and they're like, hey guys, we're gonna set you guys up outside tonight on the patio. And we're like, what? Okay. So we set all, and it's acoustic gig, like I said, set up outside on the patio. We've got a PA and we've got everything through direct boxes and stuff, so it's not that big a deal, but it's a little weird being outside. And we had pretty great 45-minute set. First set goes really good. There's a crowd out there. Everybody's into it. And it's getting a little chillier now. It's about 9 o'clock. It's dark outside. And everybody's gone inside. So we take a break. And after a little bit, we go in and we start talking to one of the managers. And we're like, hey, why don't we move this inside? It's cold outside. Everybody's coming in, So we take a break and we don't hear anything. We're like, all right. So we wait a little bit. And the manager lady goes and gets on the phone with somebody. And she comes out to us. And just out of nowhere, she's like, hey, so we're actually getting ready to shut down. And we're like, yeah. And she goes, we'll just pay you your whole salary for tonight. And just call it a night tonight. Everybody's trying to pack it up and go home. So we're like, what? So we traveled all that way, played our 45-minute acoustic set, and got paid for the whole night. So, you can't really complain about it. It was good money. It's just, man, it was a weird trip. I don't know if any of you guys in bands have ever been through this same deal. But yeah, you go all the way out there and you want to play. That's what we do. And can't really complain, like I said, because you're getting paid. But I don't know. It's a weird trip, man. Y'all email me at guitarjamesshow@gmail.com. Let me know. So, like I said at the top of the show, I want to talk about one of my favorite vinyls here. I'm just going to pull this out. It's from a band called Blackberry Smoke. I don't know if you guys know these guys. You should. They are, I know everybody calls them Southern Rock, but they're just a rock and roll band. They play real instruments. They sing themselves. and the album of theirs that I've pulled my vinyl out here of is called The Whippoorwill. And from everything I've read on it, it's technically their third album. But to them, this is their first album where they've got to go in and make a record like they wanted to. like Blackberry Smoke should sound. Most of the songs on this record are songs that you hear at every one of their shows. If you don't know who they are, so let's see here. I'm opening it up here. We have, there's Charlie Starr on vocals and guitar. And Charlie's a great guy. We seen these guys at King Biscuit one year in Helena, Arkansas. And we're hanging out at the little record store there during the day. But I think they went on, they headlined that festival. So they went on, I don't know, 9, maybe 10. But this was at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We were already kind of hanging around there. And ran into Charlie at the record store there. Such a nice guy. Was super nice to everybody. Stayed, hung out, took pictures of everybody. That's another reason why everybody loves this band. They're so good to their fans. But so it's Charlie on guitar and vocals. There's brothers. Their rhythm section are brothers. It's Britt Turner on drums and Richard Turner on bass. So how much tighter can you get as a rhythm section having brothers? Paul Jackson on guitar and vocals and Brandon Steele on piano and organ. I'm sitting here reading through this, and it says, is produced by Blackberry Smoke, of course. Clay Cook and Zach Brown. Clay Cook, I guess, is from the Zach Brown Band. And I know he played with them on their Georgia Theater DVD and stuff. So these guys, I think, were all on the same label at this point. Kind of had a Capricorn thing going on. Says this album was recorded July and August 2011 in Asheville, North Carolina. I think from what I've seen on it, they just set up in like a big church, because this album's got that great sound to it. I like all the other ones, I'm pretty sure it was, most of it was done live and just got this great sounding room, man. If you flip over on the back, most of the tracks on it, these are all just the songs you hear at their shows. Lucky Seven's great. It's got a good groove. Ain't Got the Blues, that's a standard of theirs. Sleeping Dogs, that's another standard of theirs. Ain't Much Left of Me, Six Ways to Sunday, Pretty Little Lie, Shaking Hands with the Holy Ghost. So, yeah, and another great one on here you don't hear a lot at one of their shows is Up the Road. That's really great. Of course, the Whippoorwill, the title of the album is really, really great. Just go check it out. If you haven't checked this band out, this would be the album to start with. Get the vinyl if you can. You know, I love vinyl. From what I've read up on it, it's like you're hearing right from the soundboard what these guys did. So I don't know if that's true or not. In my head, it is. So, yeah. So, go out, check it out, man. Email me. Let me know what you guys are listening to. GuitarJamesShow@gmail.com. So, I hope you guys are really liking this podcast. It's fun to do. I'm going to try to, you know, stay more consistent with it. Thank you to all our listeners. And there's a lot of new listeners in Seattle, Washington now, Dallas, Texas, UK, Ireland, Japan, all over the place, man. Just thank you guys so much. Whatever you're listening to this on, if it's on Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you're, Stitcher, wherever you're finding it, just follow the show. Go to thedeltaproject.bandcamp.com. Check our albums out. Thank you guys so much for that. I have noticed. Thank you so much. And I guess, man, until next week, we'll be right back at it, man. Thank y'all so much. See ya.